Although the Defense Department will absorb cuts of $487 billion from previously planned spending over the next 10 years, leaders in the Navy and Marine Corps say it's far from doomsday. Robert Work, the Undersecretary of the Navy, says for his two services, the glass is half full, maybe even more than that.
In fact, three quarters full. Now, the glass half empty guys focus on the Budget Control Act, and they think that all that's going on is a big budget drill.
It's not, Work told the Navy League's Sea Air Space Conference.
I firmly believe that we're going to see the 21st century as being a naval century, a new golden age of American sea power. Now, a lot of you in the audience probably think I've missed my meds this morning, but let me explain to you why I think this. Yes, the Budget Control Act triggered a strategic review. This is the biggest such effort, in my view, since 1954. There is nothing remotely like it. For those of you who are historians, I ask you to go back to 1953 when President Eisenhower entered the White House. We were in a war in Korea. He was interested in balancing the budget and bringing our national security and our national means into balance. This is the biggest thing since that, then. So that is what you have to keep in mind when you read this little document.
Work says as defense drawdowns go, this one is relatively mild. He says it's the fourth drawdown since World War II, and assuming lawmakers don't let sequestration go into effect, it will be the smallest pullback in defense spending since then. For the Navy in particular, the good news is that the spending cuts were not split into equal thirds among the military departments, as in some past drawdowns. And Work says the shift in strategy hugely favors Navy capabilities, including a shift in focus to the Asia-Pacific region, fewer boots on the ground for large counterinsurgency operations, and maintaining freedom of access on the high seas.
So after reviewing this guidance, it's hard for me to imagine a national grand strategy. And this, make no mistakes, creates the outline for that grand strategy. There is no other time in our history, with the exception of the period between 1890 perhaps and World War II, where naval forces, Navy, Marine Corps, were so central to our national strategy. And our vision of an integrated national fleet and a Navy Marine Corps team that is built and ready for war and operated forward to preserve the peace matches that strategy perfectly.
Under DOD's proposed budget, the military services that will shrink the least over the next 5 years are the Navy and the Air Force. By 2017, DOD projects the Navy's total size, including active and reserve components, will go down by 3.9%. The Marine Corps, by contrast, will shrink by 8.3%. But leaders argue that's mostly due to the drawdown of surge forces that were needed in Iraq and Afghanistan. The Marines say they do have some concerns about funding in the coming years, particularly in the areas of replacing equipment that was damaged or destroyed in the wars, and taking care of Marines who have been in a period of prolonged combat. Nonetheless, like Work, General Joseph Dunsford, the Assistant Commandant of the Marine Corps, says the DOD strategy makes him optimistic about his service's future.
I am not unmindful of future challenges, but among the things that I'm most confident about is that this past year has validated for the United States Marine Corps the mission and the role and the unique contribution that the Marine Corps makes to our security. And that's been validated by the Secretary of Defense. It's been validated in the comprehensive review. The comprehensive review and the resulting strategy outlines the need for forward deployed, forward engaged forces. It outlines the need for crisis response capability. It outlines the need for assured access for the joint force and our ability to project power from the United States. In all of those things, right down the wheelhouse of United States Marines.
Despite the fact that the Navy fared relatively well in the DOD budget guidance, many Republican members of Congress have been harshly critical of the Pentagon's plans for future naval forces. House Armed Services Committee Chairman Buck McKeon has repeatedly blasted a budget he says would create the smallest Navy since before World War I. But both Work and his boss, Navy Secretary Ray Mabus, have been giving a full-throated defense of their shipbuilding plans this week. Mabus spoke to a Navy League audience on Monday.
As I said in my last round of budget hearings in Congress, I used the punchline of an old joke. That bed was already on fire when I got in it. On September the 11th, 2001, our fleet stood at 316 ships and we had more than 377,000 sailors. Yet when I was sworn in as Secretary less than 8 years later, those numbers had declined by 33 ships and almost 49,000 sailors. At the start of this administration, I made shipbuilding a priority. And now, in spite of a much tougher fiscal environment, in spite of having to defer some ships or decommission some early in order to meet the numbers of the Budget Control Act, the fleet size numbers are moving in the right direction.
The Navy says its new 30-year shipbuilding plan puts it on track to get to a fleet size of 300 ships by 2019 and keep it there. But Mabus says comparing the current Navy fleet to those of past eras is like comparing a smartphone to a telegraph. Work made a similar point. Today's ships are simply far more capable and flexible.
It just doesn't really tell you anything. I mean, it's like comparing an apple with an orange. The only question you ask yourself is, how many ships do we need to implement the national strategy of today? That's the only question that should bother us. But I'm here to tell you, we will hit 300 ships in 2019, regardless of what happens. Because of the decisions we've made over the past 3.5 years, we have about 40 ships on contract right now. We will have 90% of the combat power in our surface combatant fleet as a 600-ship Navy. The American flag, as shown by the United States Navy, will be everywhere in the world that it has been, and it will be as much as the 600-ship Navy.
The Navy will accomplish that in part by relying on the fast new littoral combat ship, a program that in and of itself has come under fire from some quarters for building ships that are too light and too vulnerable to enemy attacks. But Navy leaders say the LCS is not designed to replace destroyers. It's designed to be flexible, low cost, and perform a variety of missions.
It is all about fleet design. People who don't get the LCS don't understand what design we are going for. We have to prove the LCS is a good platform. I know there are a lot of skeptics. But this ship is the right ship at the right time for the right fleet design, and this will be the best United States Navy battle force that the history has ever seen, and the best battle force the world has ever seen.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.